From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We're delighted that you've decided to join us for today's program. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for a message from the Word of God, as well as some sacred music that honors the Lord. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ with another portion of a message called The Unconcealable Christ. In his encounter with the Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile, the Lord Jesus showed that God is not limited by human notions of how he must act. First, however, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, a subject very much in keeping with this month's emphasis upon the Protestant Reformation, as he speaks of sacramentalism, the corrupt root of a false gospel.
According to the Church of Rome, Christ instituted seven sacraments in his church as enduring symbols and signs that man is blessed by God and saved by Christ's redeeming mercy. These seven sacraments allegedly are baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, penance, the sacrament of the sick, sometimes called extreme unction or the last rites, holy orders, and matrimony. It must be remembered that Rome's concept of worship and of salvation is thoroughly sacramental. That is, she views the sacraments as the necessary vehicles of divine grace. She states that it is through the sacraments that, and I quote, man clings in worship to Christ to share in the fruits of his paschal gift. They are instruments by which Christ, through the liturgical acts of his church, in fact confers the graces symbolized by the sacraments. Pay close attention to this, for this is the pernicious system of dead legalism from which God delivered us as a result of the Protestant Reformation. First, I should point out one glaring self-contradiction in the Romish claims. Rome claims that in the Eucharist, bread and wine actually become the very body and blood, humanity and deity of Jesus Christ. If this were true, the Eucharist could no longer be a symbol or a sign. It would be the real thing, and anyone participating would be eating and drinking the actual body and blood of Christ. Even if the participant did not exercise either thought or faith, he would still receive the very fullness of Christ's humanity and deity. There can be no escape from the conclusion that if Rome believes her own claims, she teaches that anyone who partakes of her Eucharist is saved, even without faith in Christ. For can anyone actually receive the very humanity and deity of Christ without saving benefit? Of course, Rome protects herself from this conclusion by her legalistic system of ritual observances. She teaches that the justified may increase or decrease their justification by their actions, and may actually lose it altogether. The continuance and growth in justification that she imagines depends on a person's participation in the church's sacramental system. It's noteworthy that Rome makes receiving Christ depend on receiving the sacraments, and she makes receiving the sacraments depend on the ritual actions of the church through her priests. Thus, Rome effectively places herself between the sinner and the Savior. He cannot reach Christ except through the liturgical actions of his church. This is not even remotely related to New Testament Christianity. Salvation is symbolized in the sacraments, and our sanctification is strengthened by their faithful observance. But we receive Christ directly and need no human intermediary. Later this week, I'll show that Rome has invented 5 of her 7 sacraments and perverted the 2 that have New Testament authority. For the moment, I'll simply make the point that sacramentalism is the invention of a church that has usurped the place of Christ and that has replaced his gospel of free grace received directly through faith alone with one that makes its priests lords over God's heritage and brings its followers into spiritual bondage. Let us, therefore, as Paul commands, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs at freeperes.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
You see, we have got to realize that the eternal purpose of God does not place the restrictions on Him that our little minds and theological schemes may conceive that they place upon Him. To us, the logic would be irrefutable. God sent you only to the house of Israel. This is a Syrophoenician woman living in Sidon. She's a heathen and a Gentile. Therefore, according to the purpose of God, she is not to be reached with the gospel. But the fact of the matter is that Christ did work there. And He did do His kingdom ministry there. However much it may appear to men to contradict God's sovereign purpose, the truth is, it did not contradict that purpose. We must learn something that humbles us here. You know, it's always true when people learn a little theology, they think they know more than they really do. And it's always tragic to see this. When they have their little theological scheme and they can box the infinite God up within the boundaries of that scheme and they think they can tell God whom He can love and whom He can't love and whom He can save and whom He can't save. I believe absolutely that God works according to His sovereign eternal purpose. I believe in the predestinating, electing decree of a sovereign God. But I also believe that it is the utmost folly for me or anybody else to come along and try by my logic to work out how God must execute that purpose. I know a Baptist church in England. It was quite a strong Baptist church at the time. And they believed so strongly in their view of God's predestinating purpose that they really got angry when the preacher invited a free Presbyterian along to preach, who determined, and I think there was a little bit of what word should I best use? Don't want to be too hard on the preacher, but there was impishness in it at least. Maybe badness. And he determined, I will have these people sing the hymn, Whosoever Will May Come. Man, they choked so much in that many of them could not, would not countenance it whatsoever. The fact that it's a quotation practically from Scripture made no difference. You see, the thing is this. God is the best judge of his own mind. I have had people come to me and question, how can you indiscriminately invite sinners to Jesus? How can you do that? Why do you not simply wait for God to bring in his elect? Because the Lord Jesus didn't tell me to wait till God brings in his elect. He told me to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And God will declare his purpose just as clearly by his deeds as he does by his words. And that's what he did on this occasion. You see, one thing is very clear here, and it is that the Lord is always accessible to the cry of the needy. And the Lord Jesus will always respond to the plea of faith. So whatever the initial response might have appeared, when this woman came crying, there was nothing more certain in the universe than this. He would respond. He would respond. There was no doubt about it. And had this story ended in any other way, we would have had something in Scripture that was flying in the face of everything else we know of our God and of his Son. There was no possible doubt that Christ would respond ultimately as he did. And for that reason, even though he was there quietly, for that reason, because he will respond and must respond to the plea of faith, he could not be hid. As I thought in those words, I thought they introduced us to a glorious subject. The subject of the unconcealable Christ. The unconcealable Christ. He could not be hid. And you know, that's as true today as it was all those centuries ago. Wherever Jesus is, his glorious presence must be obvious. It must be revealed. Whatever trouble is taken to hide the fact that he's there, it cannot be done. He can't be hid. The unconcealable Christ. This is true, for example, in the life of every saved sinner. If you're saved, then Christ is in you. But if Christ is in you, his presence will be evident and his presence will be real. I have been asked many times about the possibility of being a secret disciple. Well, I think we have some evidence in the New Testament that there were one or two secret disciples during the life of Christ. But sooner than they would have imagined, the time came when they were, to use the modern jargon, they were outed. And they were certainly made known. But why would anybody want to know, can I be a secret disciple? I can understand in places like communist Russia during the times of persecution. I can understand in times when to be obviously publicly identified as a follower of Christ was to invite imprisonment or worse, that people would be careful. And I find no fault with those folk. But they still weren't secret disciples. There were hundreds of people who knew them. There were others who, from whom it could not be hid. Because if Christ is in you, the evidence will be real and it will be plain. It'll be evident to you. It'll be evident to those you live with. It'll be evident to those you're working with. If Christ is in you, He cannot be concealed. He'll be the center of your life. He'll be the center of your thoughts. He'll be the center of your plans. Peter says, to you that believe, He's precious. The psalmist Asaph in Psalm 73 says, whom have I in heaven but thee? Who is there upon the earth that I desire beside thee? Oh, here's the evidence of the presence of Christ. And of course, if He's there, He'll be your guide, He'll be your shepherd, He'll be your leader, He'll be your example. He will make Himself known to you in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will work through His Spirit upon your heart and upon your conscience, giving you desires after holiness, hatred of your sin, a despising of the things that are antagonistic to His grace. There is that within a Christian that is not the product of the Christian's own mind and will and effort, but is the product of the Spirit of Christ that drives him, impels him toward holiness. You see, where Jesus is in a life, He cannot be hid. And where people tell me that Jesus is there, but He's hidden under layers of open worldliness, practiced wickedness, profanity, uncleanness, carelessness of the things of God, I have great doubts that Jesus is there at all. Where He is, He will be known and His presence will be evident. Do not fool yourself that you have Christ within you, the hope of glory. If there is no evidence of His presence, no desire after seeking Him, living for Him, loving Him, but you're more content to live without Him, except in the judgment day when you stand before God. Anybody who sees Jesus Christ as a mere insurance from the fires of hell and nothing else, I fear, is still without Him. For you can't hide Him if He's there. What's true in our hearts and souls is certainly true in the experiences of life. If you have Christ in the vessel, you may hit the storm, but He'll be with you in the storm. And He will be to His people in the storm what He was to the disciples in the ship when it was storm-tossed on the Sea of Galilee. In all our joys, He will be our chief joy. In all our trials and tribulations, He will be our chief comfort and assurance. For a while, He may appear to hide His face, just as happened in the portion we've been reading. But He must make Himself known. He must make Himself known. He will make Himself known and His presence felt. The trial of our faith is a precious thing because it is to make His presence all the more glorious at the proper time of Christ's revelation of Himself. It is to make us more all the more desirous. It is to make us less and less attached to the world and more to yearn after Him. It's the reason He hides His face. For a short time, He says, I have forsaken you, or appear to have. But with great mercies I'll gather you. That's how the Lord deals with His people.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.